The Gospel of Luke. If you'll turn to the Gospel of Luke, entitled the message today, simply, Jesus is risen. Luke chapter 24, Jesus is risen. Thank you once again for your kind attendance, for your presence in this service today. Luke chapter 24, Jesus is risen. You will begin reading with me. Let us begin in verse number 1. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse number 1. The scriptures tell us, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this that behold, two men stood by them shining in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. May we pray once again. Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture on this Easter Sunday, this Lord's Day, may we glean truth, may we hear it, may we obey it. Thank you for Jesus, for the resurrected one who is alive today and is alive forevermore. Unto him be glory and honor and praise forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is risen. The central truth claim of all Christianity is what we are reading about this morning in the Gospel of Luke. The fact of Jesus' resurrection. On the third day, he was raised from the dead. Paul put it like this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He spoke in the very beginning of that chapter by saying, "The things that I give you in this particular portion are of the first importance." The foundational truth, the foundational doctrine of Christian thought, of the church, of Christianity, of Christians today is this. Here's what Paul said. Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the central foundational truth claim of all Christianity. That is the reason that we are meeting today. That is the reason that we meet as a church every single Sunday, because they went to the tomb and the stone was rolled away and Jesus was not there. He is risen.
Amen.
Now let's think today about why we believe that. And just in the way of introduction, I want us to think about what we know. What has been delivered unto us? What is the information that we have about the working of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing we see, and this is just introductory material, is this, is that Jesus, we know, lived and died by crucifixion. Jesus lived and he died by being crucified upon the cross. All of the Gospels mention this event and talk about it in some detail. It is mentioned all throughout the New Testament. There are also extra-biblical or historical sources that mention this fact as well. There was a Jewish historian by the name of Josephus who mentioned the fact of Jesus of Nazareth being crucified by the Romans. There was also another historian called Tactatian who mentioned the same thing. He was a Roman historian. Now listen, when I say there are extra-biblical sources, the Bible is enough. The Bible is all we need. And I'm not saying these other sources are inspired like the Scriptures, because they are not. But it's interesting that in that first century Palestine, when historians wrote, they had to take note at least of the fact that there was a man by the name of Jesus, sometimes called Jesus of Nazareth, and that he died on the cross by the Roman crucifixion. So that's what we know. That's what the scriptures and that's what history even tells us. We also know that the tomb was empty. Jesus died upon the cross and then on the third day the tomb was empty. They went to the tomb and he was not there. Now down through history there have been those who have tried to come up with some other explanation for the empty tomb. Some have said perhaps the apostles, the disciples, stole his body, but that doesn't seem very likely when it seems as if they were hiding for their lives, and they certainly wouldn't travel that great of a distance on the Jewish Sabbath, the high holy Sabbath, the Passover. Others have said perhaps maybe Jesus didn't really die. Perhaps he was just in some kind of shock after his crucifixion, and then he sprang back to life or he came back to his senses. But once again, the scripture tells us that when they pierced his side upon the cross and they did not break his legs, that forthwith came blood and water. And medical scientists tell us that's a sign of death. That under great stress, sometimes the organs will simply give way. So the tomb was empty. What is the best explanation? Seemed to be what we read right here. He is risen.
Amen.
Jesus lived and he died on a cross. The tomb was empty. There are also eyewitnesses. Jesus appeared to many people. Jesus appeared, Paul tells us, to himself, to Paul, to all of the disciples. And at one point he appeared unto 500 people at once. Dare I say it today that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the most eyewitnessed events in all of ancient history. There were people there that saw him, that touched him, that heard him, and they saw his resurrection body. This just didn't happen in a vacuum somewhere. Jesus was raised literally, he was raised physically, he was raised bodily from his death. And so there are witnesses all over the place. As a matter of fact, there were more witnesses to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ than to the day when Julius Caesar was killed in the Roman Senate. He is risen. The tomb was empty, and Jesus appeared unto people. And you know those disciples? When Jesus appeared to them, they claimed that resurrection for the rest of their lives. Hear me today. Those early witnesses who saw the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what they said from that day forward? He is risen. He is risen indeed. They never changed their story. They never recanted. They never went back on it. And by the way, many of them died because of it. Many of them gave their life because they refused to say Caesar is Lord. And instead they would say Christus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. I know that's not a foolproof case. But there's a lot of good reasons. There's a lot of historical data that we have. There are many things that we can see here about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think about what he has done for us, and we think about the fact that he was able, listen now, to prophesy and predict his own death, how he would die, where he would die, and then prophesy and predict that he would rise again on the third day. If someone can do that, friend, that's not human. That's not even superhuman. That's supernatural. Only God could do something like that.
Amen.
Only God is able to do something like that. And so if Jesus is the resurrected Son of God, if he is the resurrected Savior, then I want you to know this. You and I are one day, listen to me now, one day we're going to have to deal with him. You and I cannot be neutral about Jesus.
Right.
The truth claim of Jesus is so powerful and so complete, we can't be neutral about it. You can be neutral about the concept of a God or a God. But listen, when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, we either are going to believe that or we're not.
Amen.
We have to make a choice. We've got to deal with these truth claims. Some of you today, I love you and I don't know who you are. Some of you, I'm not trying to pick at your lives. I have no idea. But perhaps today within this congregation, there are people that are living, ignoring the Lord Jesus Christ. You are living your life ignoring Jesus. You might believe that he exists, but you're not taking his claims very seriously. So I want to encourage you today to take the claims of what we're going to share very seriously, because he is risen. And as he is risen, he is our judge.
Amen.
He is the one to whom we will stand before. It is appointed unto human beings to die and then to face the judgment. So let me give you a very brief outline. All this really will fit in one sentence. Jesus, number one, is risen. Hear him. If he is risen and we believe he is, we need to hear what the scriptures are revealing to us. We need to hear. Not just hearing with the ears, but we need to hear with the mind. And we need to hear with the heart. We need to hear what is being said and understand what the scripture has declared. And by the way, if Jesus is the Son of God and we believe he is, then this is all his word.
Amen.
He inspired it all.
Yes.
It's not just the red letter words, as important as they are. He inspired it all. So we need to hear Him and we need to understand what He has told us. And what has the Scripture revealed about us as human beings? It has revealed an unpleasant truth. The gospel is good news, but it begins with bad news. And the bad news is this. Jesus is risen. He is our judge. And in our natural state, we're guilty before Him. I know that is an exceedingly unpopular way of looking at things in our day and in our time. But the Scripture makes it very clear. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous, not even one. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one that is good. Our righteousness, Isaiah tells us, is nothing more than filthy rags before the righteousness of Almighty God. We have broken His law. We have transgressed what He has commanded us as His creation. And so we need to come to terms with that. We need to hear that. It is an unpleasant truth. It is a truth that we don't like to hear, but we need to hear it nonetheless today. And we need to understand our guilt before Almighty God. Our just guilt. The guilt that God is just in punishing human beings for. But we also need to understand what we are looking at today. Of the fact of Jesus Christ took our place. You see, in order to understand just how good the good news is, we need to understand our state and where we are without Him. We need to understand that we are dead in trespasses and sin, that we are separated from God and from His mercy and from His goodness, that we are enemies with God. When we understand that, that makes the good news so much gooder, if I can say it that way today. It is so good that Christ died according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. What we need to hear today is that Jesus is alive, that He lived for our righteousness, that He died for our sins as our sacrifice, and paid the debt, and paid the penalty that we couldn't pay. And He was buried. Why is that important? Because that shows us that He really actually died. No tricks here, my friends. No other theories really make any sense. You don't bury someone that is not dead. He died physically, literally, and bodily. And He rose again the third day, conquering death, hell, and the grave, giving us the promise of a future resurrection and verifying that everything He said was true. We need to hear Him today.
Amen.
Hear what He has declared unto us. Christ died and He is risen. Jesus is risen. We need to hear Him and understand the truth claims of Christianity. But number two, Jesus is risen. Believe Him. Since He is risen, since He is the Son of God, the command from Scripture for us is simply this. Believe. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It is about believing and believing who He is. Now, people today want to say, I want some foolproof explanation. I want all the evidence. I want to make sure that I totally understand everything and then I'll believe. Well, friend, if that is your wish, there's a good chance you will never believe. Because this is about faith. This is about believing even though you don't have all the answers. This is about believing even though you don't understand everything. This is about believing even though you didn't see it and I didn't see it. And you're thinking, well, Pastor, that's foolish. Oh, really? Everyone lives on faith in something. We're all placing our faith in something. Every one of us here today. Every person out there that you meet. Every person that drives by this church every week. We're placing our faith in something. Some are placing their faith in human effort, in good works. They're placing their faith in many different things. Maybe in money or in a human relationship or in their job or in the economy or in the government or in whatever. We're placing our faith somewhere. But I want to encourage you today, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Place your faith in Him because He'll never let you down.
Amen.
Place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because that is like planting your feet upon the solid rock and no matter what storms comes against you, praise God, you'll be able to stand. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. One of Jesus' disciples actually demanded what I just talked about. In the Gospel of John, Thomas said this. He said, unless I can see it and place my hands in His scars, I will not believe. Well, a few days later, Jesus showed up. He showed up in the house. He showed up in the place. And He said, look, Thomas, You see the scars in my hand, the scars in my feet, the scar on my side. Do you see me now? And he said, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said this. He said, listen. You see and then you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe.
Yes.
That's you, dear Christian, today. We have not seen. We have not heard in the physical audio sense. We have not been able to visualize it. We have not been in Jesus' presence. But we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He's alive today. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me. You say, Pastor, how do you know? I just know.
Amen.
We just know, isn't it? You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within me. He lives within my heart. Will you believe that today? Jesus is risen. You need to take His claim seriously. Believe Him. And Jesus is risen. Trust Him. Trust Him. I mentioned faith just a minute ago. The importance of faith. R.C. Sproul once said that the word in our English language today that is most synonymous with the word faith or the concept of biblical faith is this: trust. Salvation is about trusting in. It's not simply about believing that it might have, perhaps, maybe. No, it is trusting in Christ. Trusting in Him completely and fully for our salvation. Trusting in Jesus, as the old song says, that's all. Trusting in what He accomplished on our behalf. Salvation is not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is the gift of God. It is a gift that is given by grace. It is a gift that we receive by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who, my friend, are you trusting in today? Are you trusting in yourself? Oh, please forsake that. Please repent of that. Please repent and turn from that. Don't trust in yourself, because yourself is not enough. Myself is not enough. Are you trusting in what you have and your possessions and your things? Friend, those can be taken from you and from me in a moment. They can be stripped away from us in a moment in time. Don't trust in them. Trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus is risen. Trust in Him, my friends. Trust that He will save you. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? Confess. Agree with. That you will agree about your sinfulness and about your sorry state. And trust in the absolute perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart that God has what? Raised Him from the dead. You shall be saved.
Amen.
Believe. Trust in Him. Trust in Him by faith. Trust in Him as the only one. Trust in Him as the only way, because, and once again, I'm going to get into a very unpopular doctrine these days. The Bible tells us that there's only one path. Let's please understand that today. The Bible tells us there's one way, one truth, one life.
Amen.
There's one mediator between God and man. Not many, but one. There's one hope, there's one faith, there's one Lord, there's one baptism, there's one church. You notice that and you look throughout Scripture and we see that again and again, that one, one, one. And Jesus said that. And Peter said that there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. The central truth claim of Christianity is this, my friends: Jesus is alive. He rose from the grave. He prophesied it, He predicted it, and He absolutely did it. And by the way, this was not only prophesied and predicted by Jesus, this was prophesied and predicted by prophets that lived hundreds, if not thousands of years before Jesus ever came upon the scene. When you look throughout the Old Testament, it always points us to this one who would come as the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And that is a powerful truth claim. And it's a claim that you and I cannot just brush off. It's a claim that you and I must either believe and trust in or reject. There's no neutrality with Jesus. So I want to say to you today, trust in Him. Trust in the one who gave His life for you. Trust in Him today. trust in Him. Jesus is risen. Hear Him. Jesus is risen. Believe Him. Jesus is risen. Trust Him. Jesus is risen. Follow Him.
Amen.
Jesus is risen. Follow Him. Now you say, Pastor, how do we follow Him today? Jesus is not with us physically. Yes, absolutely. We follow Him by seeking to learn what He has taught us to do and then obey. Reading and studying His Word, learn what He desires for us, and then seek to put it into practice. Be not just a hearer, but a doer of the Word. Now, you may be thinking today, well, listen, what are we to understand about all these different things and all of these different philosophies? Well, we can only understand the very clear truth claims of Scripture that we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. So Paul tells us right there that the ground of our salvation is grace through Christ Jesus. It is grace and trusting in Jesus. But the result of that salvation, dear Christian, the fact that He is risen today ought to affect the way we live. Amen? It ought to affect the way we live. We don't just simply receive this wonderful truth and this wonderful grace and then go off and live like the devil and go off and live like the rest of the world. You're a child of the King, brought into the very presence of God, adopted into His family. Let's act like that. Trusting in Him, yes, but following Him. Learning what He has told us to do and trusting in Him and following Him each day. Because I want to declare something to you. Following Jesus is the best way to live. Maybe thinking, Pastor, of course you're going to say that. You're a pastor. Well, that is true, but I want you to know something. I haven't always been a pastor. I've been a pastor the last 15 years, but before that I was not. And I was an adult for several years before I became a pastor. So I want to tell you, I've been following Him a long time. Imperfectly, yes. I have been following Him a long time. And I want to tell you, it's the best way to live. The world will tell you that the best way to live is to live for you. To make life all about you. But I want to tell you, that's not a good way to live. It might make you happy for a very few moments. But here's the thing about we as human beings. We can't be satisfied with anything for long. Even if we could get everything we want, we would still want something else. Even if we could have life exactly as we would like it. And of course, that never even happens. We would still want something else. But I want to tell you, in Jesus Christ, there is satisfaction. In Jesus Christ and in following Him day by day, there's hope. In Jesus Christ, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I don't want to mislead you today. It's not a perfect life. Oh, my friends, it will not make your life perfect. And you're not going to always... You're going to have problems from time to time, and you might still get sick. And you know, if the Lord Jesus comes back, we're all going to die one of these days. And sometimes you may not always have all the money you want and all these promises that some of these charlatans make out there. I'm not saying it's the perfect life per se and as far as our circumstances, but I'm saying it's the best way to live.
Amen.
You will not regret following Jesus. You will not regret obeying Him. I have a lot of regrets in my life, but I never regret obeying the Lord Jesus. I never regret obeying what He has told me to do. Jesus is risen. Follow Him day by day. Friend, what about you? The central truth claim of Christianity is that we are sinners, but that Christ died for sinners, and that He was buried and rose again, and that all who will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and will believe in their heart that God has raised Him from the dead shall be saved. But what about you? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you placed your faith in what He has done for you? Are you willing to trust Him today? In just a moment, we're going to have what's called an invitation, and it's just simply a time of response. It's a time for you to be able to walk the aisle and maybe get questions or answers to your questions or something of that nature. If you have a question about what I've shared today, this is a time of response. But Jesus is risen, and you and I can't be neutral about it. Jesus is risen. Hear Him, believe Him, trust Him, follow Him. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Would you join me as we pray today?